But it's good to have a church that knows what is sin and what is not sin. Because when we don't understand what we're doing and it's sinful, we bring things upon ourselves that we don't even know why it comes to us. The church might seem rather mean and insensitive to the hurts that we have with their legislation. But when you analyze it, as it's been tested for 2,000 years, you'll find it makes perfect common sense in every category of morality. We are blessed in this faith of ours. Don't resent the church. Don't. I ask you, though, today to examine your hearts on your love. The four kinds of love, yes, especially if you're married: erotic love, sensual, sexual, physical, romantic, a wonderful gift between spouses in marriage. God's invention, not the invention of Sigmund Freud. And if spouses have enough of this legitimate pleasure in their life, they won't have to look for illegitimate pleasure elsewhere. Run off to the internet or to some dirty, filthy films. No, God never intended that. That's so unnatural. But I know for sure, love, erotic love too, is not lust. Because lust always wants to manipulate, to control, to use, to exploit other people for selfish purposes. And once a person knows that they've been used, they hate the person who's treated them that way, and they hate themselves for allowing themselves for being so used. And that's why here we say that very special prayer: Lord, spare us from using people whom we should be loving. And Lord, spare us from loving things which we should only be using. The second part of that prayer is a prayer against greed. But when you analyze lust and greed, both capital sins, they come together to form the self-same taproot to go right down into the heart of Satan. I've yet to meet a greedy person in my whole life, either hemisphere, that I would consider happy. And I've yet to meet a lustful person in my life who was ever happy. One of our priests facetiously made the observation. He said he thought the church did so much better before the Second Vatican Council, when our pitch was fear, to scare people out of hell, or scare the hell out of them. Now, the whole pitch of the church, this pastoral approach, is love, love, love. And it's beautiful if it's understood properly. It's a great, great gift. And God is love. And he who abides in love, the scripture says, abides in God and God in him. And exposure to God is exposure to love. And that really is our greatest need. But the only sacrament where you can experience the four loves written about by C.S. Lewis in his famous book, The Four Loves, is the sacrament of matrimony. And that's why that sacrament, the school of Christian perfection for sure, is a sacrament that really helps people to mature. Almost as much as the maturity that comes from accepted suffering. Eros. And then there's the love called storge. That's how they say it in classical Greek. In modern Greek, they say storge. That's the love of family affection. There's a lot of suffering involved in families, too, when they are selfish. But if they can learn courtesy and other-centeredness, consideration for the feelings of other people, family life can be a beautiful experience. And for some of you, I'm sure it has been too. I would always work at that, but the parents must show the example, always. When you hear your children cursing and swearing and taking God's name in vain, sure, they may have learned it from peers, but so often when they seem to justify themselves and expressing themselves that way, they've learned it from their parents. Words that those kids should never have heard.